This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
SMC Podcast Network, and as always, I'm your host, Jesse Tapia, and for today's show, we're going to be talking some NBA from, what was yesterday, Wednesday? Yeah, from Wednesday night. We'll be talking about the games going on tonight. We'll be talking about, what else are we talking about? We'll talk about the NFC a little bit, talk about if there's a team that can actually go out and beat and go out and win the Super Bowl, because there's a lot of good teams in the NFC right now, but I'm not too convinced that either any of these teams in the NFC can go out and go win a Super Bowl. I'm just talking about, like, just going up against a team like Pittsburgh or the Patriots. I mean, for most of these teams, if I were to put the Patriots against one of these NFC teams, for most of them, I'd be picking the Patriots, and the same thing with the Steelers. I mean, if we had the Steelers playing the Vikings, you can't tell me that you'd have the Vikings winning it. Obviously, be the Steelers, a team that would come out on top. So I'm not really too sure. Like, I know we got a lot of good teams in this NFC, in this conference, but not too sure how many of them can go out and actually win a Super Bowl. But we'll see. We'll talk about that. I'll give my thoughts about that, and then we'll talk about everyone's starting to bring up the whole LeBron, where's he going type of thing. I've seen Houston, I've seen San Antonio, I've seen maybe staying in Cleveland, I've seen the Lakers, and I'll talk a little about that, talk about where I think he should go, where he should stay, or what might happen. So we'll talk about that, and then for the last segment, we'll talk about pretty much anything else going on in the sports world. That's where we might talk about tonight's games for the NBA. And pretty much recap maybe some college basketball scores or anything else. Talk about pretty much, like I said, anything else going on. But, yeah, so let's just get into it right now. So starting off with yesterday, the first game, we had the Denver Nuggets heading into Boston. Boston won that one 124-118. Wilson Chandler had 14 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 10. Mason Plumlee, 6 rebounds. 2 assists, shot 7 of 9. Jamal Murray had 28 points, had 10 rebounds, shot 9 of 17, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line. Gary Harris had 36 points, 6 assists. He shot 6 of 25 from the field, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. As for the Celtics, no Al Horford in this one, so Marcus Smart came in and started for him. Well, Jason Tatum moved to his position, but Marcus Smart was the fill-in for the starting five. You had Jason Tatum, though, with 15 points, 4 rebounds. He shot 6 of 9, 1 of 1 from the 3-point line. Aaron Baines, 17 points, 6 rebounds, shot 8 of 11 in this one. Kyrie Irving had a big game, 33 points, 7 assists, shot 12 of 19, 4 of 9 from the 3-point line. Marcus Smart, not a good shooting game from him, only 4 points, had 9 rebounds, shot 1 of 6 and 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. And Jaylen Brown had a big game, 26 points, 5 rebounds, shot 9 of 12 for the entire game and 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. And once again, the Celtics won that one, 124-118. As for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Paul George returned to Indiana, and OKC was able to pull out this win. Carmelo Anthony, he had 12 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 14, 2 of 3 from the 3-point line. Once again, bad shooting stats from him. Paul George couldn't shoot in this win either, only 12 points, shot 3 of 14 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line, had 5 assists. Steven Adams, 23 points, 13 rebounds, shot 11 of 16. Russell Westbrook, 10 points, 3 of 17, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line, 17 rebounds, 12 points. At least he got that triple-double. I mean, the guy can't shoot to save his life, but hey, you know, it's a triple-double. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, shot 5 of 8, 4 of 6 from the 3-point line. Thaddeus Young for the Pacers had 11 points, 10 rebounds, shot 5 of 13. Bogdanovich, 15 points, 4 rebounds, shot 5 of 10, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Miles Turner only had 9 points in that one, 4 rebounds, shot 3 of 11, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. Darren Collison, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 6 of 9. And Victor Oladipo couldn't get it going in this one. Only had 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, shots 9 of 26, and 1 of 9 from the 3-point line. The Thunder's little shooting woes are continuing, and this is a game that Indianapolis should have pulled out right here. I'm going to talk a little bit about this one because I was watching it. But yeah, Indianapolis should have pulled out the win in this one, all right? Just given how Carmelo Anthony and Paul George and Russell Westbrook were shooting, I mean, they only put up 6, 10 total combined made field goals, and that's what, 31, 45? Yeah, so about 10 for 45 combined from the three of them. That's terrible. I mean, I don't understand this team. I don't understand like what the front office was thinking putting these guys together. I understand it's the whole super team era, so now you got to build it up. But you know, like the whole thing about building a good super team, you actually got to have players who can play well with each other. All right, the Heat had Chris Bosh, they had LeBron and Dwayne Wade, guys who could all play together. All right, the Celtics, they had Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, never got in each other's way. Golden State Warriors, probably the most unselfish super team that's ever played. You had Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green all getting theirs. All right. Houston Rockets, they got James Harden and Chris Paul. James Harden has no problem with Chris Paul running the offense. All right, it works. Spurs don't really have a super team. They just have a great team. That's it. And let's see, any other super teams that I'm missing? No, I don't think so. I mean, but yeah, just with the Thunder. I mean, you can't, like, the coach, the front office is a bunch of idiots. Why would you bring in Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook and expect that to work? You can't just bring in two big names and expect it just, oh, these are all top 20 players right here. It's going to work. No, you actually need players who are going to be able to run the offense that you run, all right, and are going to be able to pretty much fit in with the team that you already have. You don't shift your team in order to fit in for them, all right? They're coming into your squad. They're supposed to fit in with you. They're supposed to fit in with Russell Westbrook rather than Russell Westbrook trying to fit in with Paul George or Carmelo Anthony. It just makes no sense to me, and it's kind of frustrating because everyone in the beginning of the year thought this team was going to do good things, and I've been saying that since the beginning, Golden State is going to sweep them if they play in the playoffs, and I firmly believe that. Anyone who wants to make a little wager, bet on it, we can bet on it. I firmly believe that if the Golden State Warriors and Oklahoma City Thunder were to meet in the playoffs, Golden State would have no problem sweeping them. I firmly believe that, and I'll stick to that till the end of the season. But yeah, once again, OKC won that one 195. Pacers should have done a whole lot more in that game. As for the Clippers, they went into Orlando. The Clippers won that one 106-95. DeAndre Jordan had 16 points, 20 rebounds, shot 8 of 13 in that one. Austin Rivers only had 9 points in this one, had 2 rebounds, shot 4 of 10. Sam Decker, 12 points, 4 rebounds, shot 4 of 9 off the bench. And Lou Williams, another big game from him, 31 points, 8 assists, shot 11 of 22 and 3 of 6 from the 3-point line off the bench. As for the Magic, you had Jonathan Simmons with 20 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, shot 6 of 17, 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. Vucevic had 14 points, 12 rebounds, shot 7 of 16. Elfrid Payton had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 5 of 13, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. And Hizonja, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he for the Magic had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 6 of 11, and 2 of 6 from the 3-point line. And that one, no Aaron Gordon in this game. As for the Memphis Grizzlies, they faced off with the Washington Wizards. The Wizards won this one 93-87. Jermichael Green had 15 points, 2 assists, 15 rebounds, shot 6 of 13, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line. Chandler Parsons had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, shot 4 of 12, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Marcus Gasol, 15 points, 10 rebounds, shot 5 of 16 from the 3-point line. And Aaron Harrison, I forgot to check, but one of the Harrison twins had 20 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, shot 6 of 9, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. John Wall came back. He had 13 points, 4 assists, 1 rebound, shot 6 of 15 from the field, 1 of 3 from the 3-point line, played 28 minutes in this one. Bradley Beal played 39 minutes. He had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 of 14 from the 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. Otto Porter played a whole lot better than he's been. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, shot 5 of 10 for the game, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line, and Mike Scott had 10 points and 5 rebounds in that one also. As for the Portland Trailblazers, they headed into Miami and beat down on the Heat. Or not beat down, I read that wrong. They won just by 7 points, but Portland won 102-95. Aminu had 15 points, 3 rebounds, shot 5 of 10, 5 of 8 from the 3-point line for the Trailblazers. You had Damian Lillard with not so good of a game, only 18 points, 6 assists, shot 5 of 14, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. CJ McCollum had a big game, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He shot 9 of 16, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. And Evan Turner had 10 points, 2 rebounds, shot 4 of 5 from the field. No 3-pointers hit, no 3-pointer shot. Played 23 minutes in that one. As for the Heat, James Johnson only 10 points, 8 assists, 10 rebounds, shot 5 of 11, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line. James Richardson, Josh Richardson, had 11 points, 2 rebounds, shot 4 of 10, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. Kelly Olynyk had 10 points in that one, 6 rebounds, 4 of 7 shooting from the field. Goran Dragic, 11 points, only 4 of 12 from the field. Deion Waiters had a semi-good game, 17 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 6 of 18 shooting from the game, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line. Wayne Ellington had a big game, 24 points, 8 of 11 shooting, and 7 of 10 from the 3-point line. As for the Utah Jazz, they headed into Chicago. Chicago won that one, 103-100. Utah just pretty much let me down on this one. I thought this would be like one of my lock picks right here, but Utah just couldn't pretty much get the job done. Donovan Mitchell had 32 points, 6 assists, shot 15 of 26 in this game, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line. Ricky Rubio had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 6 of 12, 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. Rudy Gobert, only 6 points, 11 rebounds, 3 of 7 from the field. Joe Ingles, only 6 points in this one, 2 of 7 from the field, 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, only had 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Off the bench, you had Rodney Hood with 15 points, 4 assists, shot 5 of 12, 3 of 4 from the 3-point line, and Alec Burks had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 6 of 13 shooting, and 1 of 4 from the 3-point line. As for the, I'm drawing a blank, the Chicago Bulls, they had Mirotić dropping 29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 of 18 from the field shooting, 3 of 5 from the 3-point line. Denzel Valentine, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 5 of 8 from the field, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Robin Lopez, 16 points, had 5 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 20 from the field. Chris Dunn, 13 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, shot 6 of 8 from the field, 0 of 2 from the 3-point line. And Justin Holiday came in and dropped in 12 points. As for the Milwaukee Bucks, they headed into New Orleans, and New Orleans won this one, 115-108. John Henson had 14 points, 6 rebounds, shot 6 of 8. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 32 points, 9 rebounds, shot 13 of 24. Chris Middleton, 15 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. Not a good shooting night from him. Only 5 of 9 from the field, 2 of 9 from the 5 of 19 from the field, 2 of 9 from the 3-point line. Eric Bledsoe had 14 points, 5 assists, shot 5 of 14 for the game, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. Anthony Davis had 25 points, 10 rebounds, shot 10 of 16. DeMarcus Cousins, 26 points, 13 rebounds, also shot 10 of 16, but did have two threes. Drew Holiday, 16 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 6 of 14 in this one, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. Rajon Rondo only had 5 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 18 minutes of play. He shot 2 of 5 from the field, 1 of 2 from the 3-point line. Etuan Moore had 21 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 8 of 11, and 4 of 6 from the 3-point line. As for the Toronto Raptors, they headed into Phoenix. Phoenix won that one, 115-109. Serge Ibaka had 21 points, 13 rebounds, shot 8 of 11, 3 of 3 from the 3-point line in that game. Jonas Valanciunas, 20 points, 11 rebounds, shot 7 of 12, 1 of 1 from the 3-point line. Kyle Lowry with another one of those playoff stat lines, 12 points, 7 assists, 3 of 12 from the field, 2 of 7 from the 3-point line. DeMar DeRozan had 37 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 of 24 from the field, 0 of 4 from the 3-point line. TJ Warren for the Suns had 17 points, 3 rebounds, shot 5 of 15, 0 of them from the three-point line, and got fouled out. Greg Monroe had 17 points, 11 rebounds, shot 7 of 11 in that game. Josh Jackson, another bad game from him, 2 points, 4 fouls, 1 rebound, no shots made. And yeah, pretty much that's all you need to know about that one right there. Tyler Ulis had 16 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, shot 6 of 8 from the field. Off the bench, you had Troy Daniels with 32 points, 3 rebounds, shot 11 of 16, and 7 of 10 from the 3-point line for Phoenix. And for the last game of the night, we had the Charlotte Hornets heading into Houston. Houston won that one, 108-96. Marvin Williams, only 4 points in this one, shot 1 of 6. Marquise Kidd-Gilchrist? Something like that. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Yeah, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had 18 points, 11 rebounds, shot 8 of 12 from the field. Dwight Howard, 26 points, 18 rebounds, 9 of 20 shooting. Kemba Walker had 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, shot 5 of 15, 1 of 6 from the 3-point line. Not a good game from him, obviously. Nicholas Batum, only 9 points, 9 rebounds, shot 4 of 10, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. Trevor Ariza for the Rockets had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 5 of 11 from the field, 3 of 7 from the 3-point line. Chris Paul, 31 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 10 of 18 shooting, 5 of 9 from the 3-point line. And James Harden had 21 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 22 and 3 of 10 from the 3-point line. So not a big game from him, but that actually wraps it up for the games going on last night. Just to run through it again, we had the Celtics beating the Nuggets. We had the Thunder beating the Pacers, the Clippers beating the Magic, the Washington Wizards beating the Memphis Grizzlies, Portland beat Miami, Chicago beat Utah, New Orleans beat Milwaukee, the Raptors beat the Suns, and the Rockets beat the Charlotte Hornets. That's actually going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to talk about the NFC right now. Or not right now, but when we get back to the get back from the commercial. And then after that, we'll be talking about LeBron James and all this talk about where he's going. I'm going to give my two cents about it. And then when that fourth segment comes, we'll talk about the games going on tonight in the NBA and pretty much anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
That last segment, or a quick reminder, we pretty much just recapped the NBA games from Wednesday night, gave the stats and scores for each of them, talked a little bit about some of them. And for this segment, we're going to be talking about the NFC and whether or not they have any real true Super Bowl winning contenders right here. And I mean, so far, like obviously right now, the NFC is a better conference than the AFC. The NFC has a whole lot more better teams. And as far as the AFC goes, like the, let's see, the number four seed in the NFC compared to the number four seed in the AFC, which would be the Saints compared to the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-6, and the New Orleans Saints are 9-4. All right, so yeah, let's see. The fourth best team in the NFC or in the AFC wouldn't even get into the wild card in the NFC, and I'm sure Tennessee right now, they're 8-5 in the fifth spot of the wild card, but I highly doubt that they'd be able to make it into that playoff race too. They'd be on the outside looking in either way. So yeah, I mean, the NFC has been a whole lot better than the AFC. You got Philly at 11-2, Minnesota at 10-3, the Rams at 9-4, New Orleans at 9-4, Carolina at 9-4, Atlanta at 8-5, Seattle at 8-5, Detroit at 7-6, Green Bay at 7-6, and then Dallas at 7-6. So the 10th best team in the NFC has a winning record. The 10th best team in the AFC, which is the Miami Dolphins, has a 6-7 record. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers at 11-2, New England at 10-3, Jacksonville at 9-4, Kansas City at 7-6, Tennessee at number 5 at 8-5, Buffalo at 7-6, then Baltimore at 7-6, the Chargers at 7-6, and Oakland and Miami at 6-7. All right, but this like cool question I got is about whether or not these NFC teams are going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl. All right, so let's start off from the top. We'll talk about pretty much the 10 teams that I noted in the NFC because they all got champs at making playoffs, okay? So Philadelphia, 11-2, looking like one of the best teams in the league. All right, had a big win against the Rams, but worst thing possible that could have happened to them, Carson Wentz blows out his knee, okay? So now you got Nick Foles coming in. And Nick Foles isn't a scrub or anything like that, but he's not a good great quarterback by any means, all right? When he had that 27 touchdown, 2 interception year for the Eagles, he got that big contract for the Rams, I think it was. And I can't really blame Nick Foles because Jeff Fisher was his coach for the Rams, and pretty much Jeff Fisher is the Grim Reaper when it comes to quarterbacks. I mean, he pretty much ended Vince Young's career. He made Jared Goff look like a bust last year. Like I said, Nick Foles, he didn't make him look good. And I was listening to an interview actually with Jeff Garcia, and Jeff Garcia talked about how when he was coaching with the Rams at that time, Jeff Fisher wouldn't even let Jeff Garcia talk to the quarterbacks, and Jeff Garcia was the guy with the most quarterback experience on that team. And man, Jeff Garcia, that's a name drop right there. If you remember, he won the the NFC East with the Eagles in 2006, I think it was. And then went back when he was with the 49ers. Him and T.O. used to have all those arguments and all that stuff. They were pretty good. Jeff Garcia was a good quarterback. And he'll never get his respect or anything like that, but he was pretty much one of the better backup fringe starting quarterbacks in all the league ever. So, yeah, about that. But going back to the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, now with Nick Foles or with Carson Wentz out, it's pretty much where do we go for him from here? And I know this question is about winning, like if these teams can win a Super Bowl, but like as far as the Eagles go, I don't think so. I don't even know if they can get past the divisional round when that's going to be the first game that they're playing in playoffs. Obviously, they got to bye. And let's see, who would they be playing? They'd be playing a team like, I think number one would play either number four or number five, I think, or something like that. So they'd be playing like New Orleans or Carolina. And Nick Foles versus those two teams, especially against New Orleans, I really don't trust them too much. So, I mean, for Philly, like, they have a good running game, Philly. They have J.J., like, Garrett Blunt, who've been playing well. Okay, then you got Alshon Jeffrey, who's been playing well this season. They just signed him to a new four-year deal, I think, a couple weeks ago, or at least last week, one of those. And then the offensive line is one of the best in football. I think they've been playing extremely well. And just like I said, that defense has been playing well, too. Secondary's been lights out, and the defensive line's been getting to the quarterback and pretty much causing pressure whenever they want. So, I mean, the Eagles, as much as I want them to do well and pretty much be able to make it, just given this whole circumstance, it's not really looking like they're going to be a Super Bowl winning team, let alone even make it to the Super Bowl. I think that they do have a chance at winning the divisional round game. But, I mean, if they already get to the NFC Championship, that'd be pretty tough to win it there. As for the next team, we got the Minnesota Vikings. They're 10-3, and they are the best team in the NFC. Now that Wentz is out, they got Case Keenum playing quarterback. That guy's been playing well. Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray have been playing well. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen have been playing well. Kyle Rudolph's looking like one of the better tight ends in the league so far this season. And then that defense is always playing well, except for last week against the Panthers. But, I mean, you're not always going to have every game be a great game. But, I mean, the Vikings, I mean, what do we really think about them, honestly? All right. Like, do we really think, given their record and all that, do we really think that this team can win a Super Bowl, though? I mean, I don't want to sound too harsh or anything like that, but just put it into your head right now. Case Keenum, Super Bowl champion. All right, I know Trent Dilfer is the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl, and Rex Grossman almost came pretty close to that when he lost to the Colts. But, I mean, Case Keenum is obviously better than Trent Dilfer ever was, I feel. I mean, I don't understand how Trent Dilfer got a Super Bowl. I mean, you could have put me at quarterback for that Ravens team in 2000. I probably could have won a Super Bowl, or at least got him to the AFC Championship at least. But, I mean, like, I just don't see it with this Vikings team. And I know that they don't get enough respect. All right, I understand that completely. They're a whole lot better than people give them credit for, but I just don't see it. Super Bowl champions, Minnesota Vikings, Super Bowl winning quarterback Case Keenum. Case Keenum has played well, but like just for some reason, I just can't picture them winning the Super Bowl given how well they've played so far this season. Like even with that, I mean, it just really doesn't. Like, I mean, imagine the Vikings going against the Patriots or the Steelers. You really think that the Vikings could beat either of those two teams? I don't think so, and I don't think they will, even if they had the chance. So, I mean, right there, number two team in the NFC, I don't think that they're capable of winning a Super Bowl this season. At number three, you got the Los Angeles Rams, who are currently 9-4. This team, give it a few years, and they will be Super Bowl contenders and possible Super Bowl champions. I don't think it happens this year because this team is way too young, and they simply have never played in, like, experienced like the playoffs in a while. I mean, you got Sean McVay, who's what? About 35 years old, somewhere around there, 32, something like that. So this is his first year ever coaching, as like at least coaching, like being a head coach. Then you got Jared Goff, who played terribly last year, but that's all because of Jeff Fisher. I can't stand Jeff Fisher, by the way. I know you guys all know that, but yeah, Jeff Fisher cannot stand the guy. So yeah, that was why Jared Goff played poorly last season. This year he's been lights out, playing extremely well, probably going to be the most improved player of the season. He should be, just given how bad he was last season compared to this season. But the Rams, they're just not ready yet, I don't think, all right? Like I said, Jared Goff, young quarterback. Todd Gurley, one of the better running backs in the league. Top five for me, I think. That defense has been playing well, and Aaron Donald's probably the best interior lineman in all of the NFL. But I just don't think, like, with Cooper Kupp playing receiver, Sammy Watkins playing receiver, Robert Woods, I don't think that this is a Super Bowl-ready team, you know? I think that they're going to make some noise in the playoffs, probably win the wild card game, and maybe make it to the divisional round, maybe pull out a win there, depending on who they play. It'd probably be the Vikings or the Eagles. But, I mean, if they were to make it to the NFC Championship, and then somehow, let's say they do get to the Super Bowl, just going back to my whole, can the Vikings beat the Patriots or Steelers? I mean, do you think Jared Goff can go up against Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger and be able to pull out a win in the Super Bowl against those two guys right there, against either of those guys? Against Tom Brady, no. Against Ben Roethlisberger, no. So, I mean, it really just comes down to that. Plus, like I said, they're just a really young team, so I just don't think they're ready. I mean, going forward the next few years, they have nowhere to go besides up. So, obviously, they probably need another receiver or two. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is a good slot guy. And I'm just really not too high on Sammy Watkins or Robert Woods. I mean, I know Robert Woods has played well, but you pretty much want to pretty much max out at that position. You want the best you can have at that position. I don't think Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins are the best you can have. And just give Jared Goff time, and I'm sure he's going to be able to pretty much build some experience and play well. As for the New Orleans Saints, number four, this is a team who I think can win the Super Bowl, okay? Because they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't have any doubts about that. They got a little cupcake schedule going up. I think they got the Jets. They got the Jets, the Falcons, and the Bucks. I think they can beat the Bucks and the Jets, so that's obviously going to mean they get into the playoffs. They'll finish out at 11-5, I think. And with Drew Brees playing quarterback, I mean, pretty much anything is possible for them. But then you got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram who have been playing well. And that little two-headed monster right there is pretty much taken off the burden off of Drew Brees' shoulders. Pretty much he doesn't have to be the guy who does everything for that team. Then you got Michael Thomas, who's a top 10 receiver in this league, maybe even top 6, top 5, maybe might be pushing it, but the guy's been playing well all season. And then that defense, too. I mean, it's not great or anything like that, but it's a whole lot better than what it's been the last few years. So, I mean, the Saints do have a chance at being one of those teams out of the NFC that can make it to the Super Bowl and possibly win it. I'd like to see Drew Brees versus Ben Roethlisberger or even Tom Brady, and I think that'd be more of an even matchup than it'd be with the Nick Foles and the Eagles playing either of those two teams, the Vikings playing either of those two teams, or the Rams playing either of those two teams. I think the Saints have a legitimate shot at making it to the Super Bowl, and I feel they'd probably be my Super Bowl favorite once it's all said and done for the NFC regular season. At least coming out of the NFC to make it to the Super Bowl, I mean. At number five, you got the Carolina Panthers. They're currently 9-4. And do we think that they can make it to the Super Bowl and win it? I don't think they can. I think they have a chance maybe to make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, they got a good team. They're able to come out with a couple of big wins. I think did they lose to the Saints last time they played? Oh, yeah, they lost to the Saints 31-21, I think it was. And they just beat the Vikings, so that's a big win for them right there. But I just really don't trust Cam Newton enough as a quarterback. I know he made it to the Super Bowl a couple years ago against Denver. But that defense isn't what it once was. Okay, Josh Norman does not play cornerback for that team anymore, so you're not going to be having any shutdown corners. And I just think Carolina, they have a chance at winning their wild card game. I mean, if they end up playing the Saints in the wild card, then I got the Saints winning that one. But say if the Rams were to move down to the fourth spot and they were to face off with Carolina, I'd like Carolina in that one, but I think it's just going to be too tough for Carolina to get through the NFC in the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl, and then let alone even if they were to play the Patriots or Steelers, I don't think they have much of a chance right there. As for the Atlanta Falcons, who are currently in the sixth spot at 8-5, don't think they have a chance really either. Don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to lose to the Panthers and Saints, and that's going to knock them out. So, I mean, let's say that they do get into the playoffs. So I don't really like Carolina as a team going forward. I don't think they've been really underwhelming so far this season, really underperforming. So really don't like Atlanta. Definitely don't think they can even make it to the Super Bowl if they do get into the playoffs. As for Seattle right now, they're the seventh team in the NFC, currently 8-5 on the outside looking in. And this is a team who, if they make the playoffs, they do have a chance at making it to the Super Bowl, but that's a big if right there. They got to play the Rams this week, and then they got to play the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott coming back. If they're able to win these next two games, then yeah, obviously they're in the playoffs, and then yeah, definitely they do have a shot at winning the Super Bowl, all right? Because if you're able to beat these two teams at the end of the year, that's going to build up all kinds of momentum. Then you got a little cakewalk going in week 17 against the Cardinals, all right? They'll play any wild card team. Doesn't matter if it'd probably be the Rams, Carolina, or Green Bay possibly. We'll talk about them in a little bit. I think Seattle could be either of those teams. If Seattle makes it in the playoffs, I think that they're going to be a dangerous team. They might even have more of a chance of making it to the Super Bowl and winning it than the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, they got a decent chance right there. Detroit, they really got no chance right now. I mean, they have to win out, and even if they were to win out, I mean, this isn't a team who I think would even make it to the NFC Championship, so there's not really much to say about them. Green Bay, that's the team I'm most curious about right now. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers is coming back this week against Carolina. It's looking like he's going to play. And they got the Panthers, then they got the Vikings, and then the Lions. Okay, so obviously they have to win out in order to have a chance at making the playoffs.
And if they do win out and do make it to the playoffs by some miracle, then that's a team who can make it to the Super Bowl and probably win it too. I would take Aaron Rodgers versus the Patriots, and I'd probably take him this time against the Steelers because this would be his second rematch against the Steelers in the Super Bowl if they were to make it. I would take Aaron Rodgers against either of those two teams, especially like with the team they got now. The defense really isn't all playing too well, but I mean, they're not as bad as they used to be. And then you got Davante Adams, you got Jordy Nelson, who plays well with Rodgers out there, and then Aaron Rodgers finally has a decent running back behind him and Jamal Williams. So Green Bay has a chance, but they still got to win their next three games and figure it out. As for Dallas, the last team I'm going to talk about, all right, you got them at 7-6, and this is a real pipe dream right here for Dallas to make the playoffs. And even if they were to make the playoffs, I don't think that this is a team who could go out and win the Super Bowl. I mean, they would have a chance at making it to the NFC Championship with Ezekiel Elliott back there. Because people, like with Dak Prescott back there and obviously Ezekiel Elliott not back there playing running back, people like to think that Dak Prescott isn't that good of a quarterback, and I'm on that side too. I don't really think he's that good of a quarterback. If your best running back isn't out there and you play poorly without him, then you're not any good quarterback. Sorry to say it. But I mean, with Ezekiel Elliott back there, Dak Prescott plays like a totally different player. So if they were to make the playoffs, this is a team who could pull out a couple of wins in the playoffs. Like last year, they should have beat Green Bay, but if their defense wouldn't have let up and let Aaron Rodgers drive down for Mason Crosby to kick that field goal, they would have advanced. So I think Dallas might be a dangerous team, but I don't think this is a team that couldn't win a Super Bowl. So you see, really, I mean, out of all these 10 teams that I listed that are all above 500 and have a chance of making playoffs, I mean, there's only the Saints and the Seahawks who have a true shot. The Saints, the Seahawks, and the Green Bay who I think have a true shot at being able to win a Super Bowl out of the NFC. I mean, the rest, I mean, they're all good stories, but I don't think they'll be able to pull it off. So that's just what I think about the NFC right now, but that's going to wrap it up for this segment. Next up, we're going to talk a little bit about LeBron, where he might end up, where he should go, where he should stay, or whatever. So we'll talk about that. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA, from the UFC to extreme cage fighting. They got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
To the GSMC Sports Podcast. In that last segment, we talked about the NFC, and really, I know like how there's a lot of good teams in the NFC right now, and obviously the NFC is a whole lot better than the AFC. But like, how many teams out of the NFC do we truly think can win the Super Bowl? I mean, obviously Philly's not going to be able to do it without Carson Wentz. I really don't think Case Keenum and that Minnesota Vikings defense Minnesota Vikings team, as well as they played all season, I don't think that's a Super Bowl winning team right there. I think the Rams are too young, but they will be up there in the next couple of years without a doubt. And the Saints, they have a chance. I think they probably have one of the better chances out of everyone in the NFC. Carolina, really don't think they got much of a shot. Atlanta, I think they have zero shot. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. Seattle, if they make it into the playoffs, then they got a good shot at winning it. And Green Bay, I think if they were to make it in by some miracle, they got a shot. And let's see, Detroit, they need to win out and pretty much hope they get help too. I don't think Matt Stafford would be able to take that team and win what, the wild card, divisional, NFC championship, four games in the playoffs. I don't think he could do that. And if Dallas was to get in, I mean, they'd be a dangerous team, but I don't think they really got much of a shot at the Super Bowl either. So it's really only three teams, like two teams who really got a legitimate shot at making the playoffs. I mean, the Green Bay Packers did a miracle, but if they were to get in, let's say that's three teams right there who got a shot at winning the Super Bowl. But I'm sure if Green Bay were to get in, then that means Seattle wouldn't, unless Seattle was to meet, pretty much win out. That's the only way I think they'd be able to get in. But we'll see how it all ends up. But yeah, I mean, there's not too many teams, I think, in the NFC that can really beat the Pittsburgh Steelers or New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. And maybe even the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe. Maybe they can get in. Maybe. If that defense can lead them throughout the playoffs. We'll see. But, yeah, the NFC's got a lot of good teams, but they don't have a lot of great teams who could keep up with the Steelers or Patriots. But as for this segment, let's talk about LeBron James. So after this year, I'm pretty sure it's after this year, he's going to be able to have a chance to leave Cleveland, all right? So we're going to be going through this whole thing again. Where is LeBron going to go? What's he going to do? Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? Who knows? All right. Anything that you hear up to this point, no one knows. Ramona Shelburne from ESPN, she don't know. All right. Andrew Windhorst, I think it is, or whatever his last name is, the guy that covers the Cavs, he doesn't know. Chris Broussard, he doesn't know. No one knows what LeBron's going to do. LeBron doesn't even know what he's going to do, I bet. All right, so whatever you hear going forward, I'd take it with a grain of salt. Ooh, LeBron going to LA? I don't really see that, okay? I don't really see him going to the Spurs. I mean, we're going to talk about each team individually and why he would, wouldn't, like pretty much the pros and cons of it or whatever. Like, same with the Rockets and the Cavs, but I really just don't see the whole LeBron going to LA. You know what? That would be the first team I start off, okay? All right, so why would LeBron go to LA, okay? Let's start it off. So he's got two houses in LA now. He just bought his second one, I think it was, recently. So, you know, I think that's what pretty much stirred up the whole where's LeBron going? Is he going to LA type of talk that's been going on? Because it was kind of dormant for a little bit. It was going on a lot in the offseason, the beginning of the season. And now once the season's starting to play out, you really didn't hear too much about it, okay? But the guy goes out, buys another house in LA, all right? The guy's pretty much almost a billionaire, at least got to be somewhere near there for him to be doing all this, all right? So he's going to be buying houses no matter what. LA, I'm not really too fond of the city of LA. Don't really like it too much. Think it's a dirty place, but I mean, that's just my opinion, all right? LeBron, he may like it. He probably lives in the richer areas and all that stuff, but I just don't see the whole LeBron and LA Lakers type of thing. I mean, everyone talks about, oh, he can make all kinds of good connections. It's good for marketing. LeBron can make good connections and market himself anywhere he wants to be. It's LeBron James, probably the most talked about professional athlete of all time, besides Tiger Woods, I guess. Tiger Woods, I mean, when it comes to him and marketing, you really can't touch him. The guy's the first professional athlete to ever make $1 billion. So, yeah, but other than Tiger Woods, I mean, LeBron, there's pretty much no amount of scrutiny or hype or anything surrounding another player than LeBron James, all right? So, yeah, LeBron, that whole marketing and making connections type of thing, I don't really think that's much of a thing, right? Like, much of a big deal right there, okay? And the second thing I have to say about him going to the Lakers, I mean, why would you leave the Cavs and go to a worse team, okay? Because I understand people were saying, oh, Lonzo Ball hasn't done anything this season. He hasn't. Oh, cool, he puts up 7 assists and puts up 5 rebounds. Oh, great. Oh, you're telling me that Lonzo Ball might be end up being having one of the worst shooting seasons ever for a rookie? Oh, yeah, LeBron's definitely going to want to go play with that guy. How about Brandon Ingram? Brandon Ingram, he's a solid player, all right? I'm not talking sarcastic about Brandon Ingram either. I'm being serious about Brandon Ingram, right? Brandon Ingram, he's a good scorer. Last season, he couldn't shoot the ball to save his life, but this year, he's starting to look a whole lot better. And, yeah, he's starting to come into his own. Okay, so Brandon Ingram, that's a good player right there. Kyle Kuzma, he's going to be losing playing time to LeBron. Brook Lopez, he's not going to be there for much longer. Jordan Clarkson, I'm sure he's going to be leaving soon. Julius Randle's gone after this year, I feel. And who else have we got on the Lakers? Am I missing? Larry Nance. LeBron wants to go play with Larry Nance. Is that what you're telling me? Is that really what you're saying right here? LeBron wants to go play with Larry Nance. All right. And then people like to bring in the Lakers are going to sign a couple of big free agents. Yeah. When is that going to happen? I've been hearing that for what? The last 7 years? I remember they were going to get Boogie. They were going to get Paul George, who still might happen. You never know. He's probably going to be going after Oklahoma City Thunder, all right? Russell Westbrook, a couple years ago, that was the thing. KD, I think his name came up a couple of times. LeBron's name came up from time to time. When he signed with the Heat that 1 year, his name came up. And I'm sure there's been a bunch of other big-name players that have been linked to leaving into the Lakers of free agency. I don't get that. I don't get why people like to link the Lakers to these big name players, okay? You want to know who the last great all-star type of player free agent they got? All right, Pau Gasol, I think they got him in free agency, but he's not on the same level as a guy like Russell Westbrook or Paul George or any of these guys. Okay, you want to know who the last great player the Lakers got in free agency? Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal was the last great players the Lakers signed in free agency, okay? So go ahead, tell me all these lies about, oh, they're going to get Russell Westbrook. Oh, they're going to get Paul George. Oh, they're going to get DeMarcus Cousins. Oh, they're going to get LeBron. Really? All LA is just a hype job. All right, the Lakers aren't that team that signs big-name free agents. I don't understand where this came from, okay? And I really don't get the whole LeBron going to LA type of thing. The only way he goes to LA, if he tells Paul George or whoever, come to LA with me. All right, basically that's it. LeBron's not going to LA to play with the team that's there right now, okay? Even if they were to get like a top pick or whatever. If the Lakers were to finish 2 through 5 in the lottery, you know who gets that pick? The Boston Celtics. So why on earth would LeBron James want to go to a team where their best point guard can't shoot the ball to save his life, okay? And pretty much play scared. All right, Brandon Ingram is the best player on that team. I get that. Julius Randle is one of the better players on that team. He's leaving after this season. If LeBron goes to the Lakers, then you're going to see Larry Nance's and Kyle Kuzma's production go down a whole bunch. All right, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's on a one-year deal there. Brook Lopez isn't going to be there if he's not the future center there. So it really makes no sense for LeBron to go there for me. I mean, I don't get it. I get ESPN has this type of thing where they need to pretty much... they need LeBron to go to LA and pretty much push that whole agenda because you know how ESPN likes to pretty much do that. I mean, with Lonzo, they pretty much been hyping him up even though he can't shoot the ball to save his life. So ESPN probably wants that to happen, and they've been pushing that one a whole lot. I mean, him going to the Rockets makes a lot more sense than him going to the Lakers, and I don't get why ESPN isn't jumping on that whole bandwagon right there because, like I said, all right, yeah, perfect switch over here. Let's talk about the Rockets and LeBron James, okay? So if LeBron were to go to the Rockets, that makes a whole lot more sense than him going to the Lakers, okay? You got Chris Paul there. You got James Harden there who's locked up. And having LeBron James, James Harden, and Chris Paul, that's a team right there that can beat the Warriors without a doubt. The Warriors would still give him trouble. But that right... yeah, actually going back to the Lakers, LeBron and whoever, if you were to bring Paul George with him to the Lakers, they're still not beating the Warriors. I promise you that. I promise you that. They are not beating the Warriors. No shot at beating the Warriors, okay? Because Lonzo Ball still don't match up with Steph Curry. Let's see. Yeah, Lonzo Ball is the matchup with Steph Curry. Okay, you guys, you have LeBron and Kevin Durant. We already saw how that went. All right, let's throw Paul George in there. Paul George doesn't even scare me anymore, just given how he's been playing with the Thunder. Draymond Green can lock him down easily. All right, and then who's going to guard Klay Thompson? You're still missing a two guard. So, yeah, the Lakers with Paul George or whatever and LeBron James still doesn't beat the... Golden State Warriors, and that's about a 6-game series at the most, 5 games if we're being real here, okay? So yeah, going back to the Rockets, this is a team who can beat the Warriors, all right? LeBron James, James Harden, that's going to be difficult, all right? Now you got to worry about probably 2 top 5 players right there, okay? Then you got Chris Paul, who's one of the best point guards of all time, not some rookie kid who's going to be in his second year, okay? Then you got Eric Gordon, who comes off the bench and can drop 25 on any given night whenever he wants to. Clint Capella is a very good center in this league. And Ryan Anderson, he's a good solid three-point shooter from the four, okay? But you're not really going to need those guys. I mean, you'd really need LeBron to pretty much coach up that Lakers team. And pretty much that team isn't good enough yet to compete with a team like the Warriors. So I just don't get that. And like I said, going back to the Warriors, I mean, LeBron James and James Harden and Chris Paul, that big three right there, that team does. I'm not saying that they would beat the Warriors, but that team has probably the biggest chance at any of the... well, I mean, there's one more team that I saw, but this is really unrealistic. I'll talk about them in a little bit. But, like, LeBron of the Rockets probably has... that's probably his best chance at having a chance at beating the Warriors. Either way, I still think the Warriors would be the favorites in that series, but it'd be a 7-game series, I think. So, LeBron of the Rockets would make the most sense to me if he were to leave Cleveland. Next team I saw was the Spurs. I really don't see this happening because this isn't really how the Spurs really do business. You know, they've been more drafting and developing our players. But let's say LeBron does go to the Spurs. And I said that the Rockets make the most sense for LeBron to leave the Cavs. But that's because I'm really like stunned sitting on the fact that he just wouldn't go to the Spurs for some reason. I just don't think that would happen. But imagine LeBron and the Spurs. All right. Tony Parker's old. You got Patty Mills there. Okay, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, who's playing well this season. You got Kawhi Leonard, who's a top 5 player in the league, probably the best 2-way player in the league. Kevin Durant might have jumped him for that. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say that Kevin Durant has jumped Kawhi Leonard for the best two-way player in the league. And for those who don't know what two-way player is, it's someone who plays really well on offense and really well on defense. Kevin Durant, without a doubt, the best scorer in the league. And his defense has gotten good enough to where I think we could put him over Kawhi Leonard. But Kawhi Leonard's right there, too. But, yeah, like, imagine, let's say, LeBron, Kawhi, LaMarcus Aldridge, okay? Doesn't sound as good as Chris Paul, LeBron, James Harden. But this Spurs team has been good since Tim Duncan got drafted, okay? They're looking like one of the best teams in the West right now. They're 18-9, 19-9, one of those. Just got Kawhi back, okay? And Greg Popovich is the reason why this team is always competing. It doesn't matter. The Spurs, they don't have a super team by any means. They don't. They got good players. They got one superstar player. One great player, I guess I could call LaMarcus Aldridge. And then they got a bunch of other players who do their jobs very nicely, all right? But they're still out here competing with the Warriors. They're still out here competing with the Rockets. And that's because of Greg Popovich. So I know this whole LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, and now that I'm thinking about it, LeBron and Kawhi Leonard would beat the Warriors, I think. Just the whole Greg Popovich factor right there. Greg Popovich, without a doubt, is a better coach than Steve Kerr. If you think otherwise, you're wrong. There's no opinion about that. That's fact. All right, but Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, LaMarcus Aldridge, that's a finals playing team right there, and that's a team that could win the finals. I mean, it'd be between them and the Warriors in the West, but I mean, that's something even, like, I think now I'm thinking about the Spurs got a better team than the Rockets right now, I think. Rockets got a lot more firepower in Chris Paul and James Harden, but all around team, if you're comparing benches and all that stuff, the Spurs got a better team. You put LeBron in that mix right there, Spurs are a team that are going to go to the finals and possibly win it. Imagine LeBron and Greg Popovich on the same team. That would be one of the craziest things ever, obviously, because Greg Popovich is probably the greatest coach of all time. But yeah, so I mean, that would make sense right there, I guess, but I just don't think it's going to happen because I just don't really see the Spurs doing that. And the final team, obviously, would be the Cavs, him staying with the Cavs. I think that this is probably what's going to end up happening, him staying with the Cavs, okay? There's really no reason for LeBron to leave the Cavs to me, okay? Just finish out your career with Cleveland, okay? You're always going to have a team in the East that's gonna be playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, or at least competing for the top spot. And yeah, you know what? Yeah, they'll be competing for the Eastern Conference Finals year after year, I feel, okay? Philly's not there, and the only team that is there that can compete with them is the Celtics, okay? So maybe if LeBron leaving, the Cavs would probably have to be, you know what? The Celtics are getting really good. They're starting to overpower this Cavs team I'm playing on, okay? And yeah, I think that'd be the only reason why he'd pretty much leave, all right? But I just think that him staying with the Cavs would probably be the best option, probably be the smartest option for him. I mean, I get him going to the Rockets, but like, I guess it'd be either the Rockets or the Cavs for LeBron. I think that's where he's going to end up after this season. All right, the whole Lakers thing, it doesn't make sense if you think logically, okay? And the Spurs, like I said, it's just not the way that they've done business before, so I really don't see it happening, but who knows? You never know. That could be like the secret team right there. But I think he's going to end up in Cleveland or Houston. If I had to put my money on it, it'd be Cleveland. So we'll see how it all ends up for him. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not even sure if he's going to be able to get past Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. But like I said, only time will tell. But yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the whole where's LeBron going type of situation. So that's what I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be making my picks for the Thursday night games. We'll pretty much talk about anything else going on in sports. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
But yeah, welcome back to the show. This last segment we just talked about, we talked about LeBron James, talked about pretty much where he's going to end up in the once the season's over, whether it's going to be the Cavs, the Lakers, the Spurs, or the Rockets. I talked about each team, why it'd be a decent fit or why he would go there. Not even like talking about the fit. I just pretty much talked about why he would go there and pretty much talked about why he wouldn't go to some places. But yeah, we did that. But for this segment, we're going to go over the NBA scores real quick. I'm going to do some college basketball scores from last night. And we'll talk about John Dorsey, his comments about his predecessors before him. And what else do we got going on? There was something else I wanted. Oh, yeah, Gordon Hayward took off his walking boots. We'll talk about what that means for the Celtics. But yeah, let's just get started with his college basketball scores, and then we'll get it with the NBA scores for tonight. All right, so Villanova yesterday played Temple. Villanova is the number one ranked team in the country. They won 87-67. Texas A&M, the number nine ranked team in the nation. Texas A&M went 113-66 against Savannah State. And then Texas Tech, they're ranked number 24 in the nation. They won 82-53. As for the games going on today in college basketball for the top 25, we just got one. We got number 21 Baylor going up against 0-9 Texas Southern. That game's going to be on ESPN2. Way to pick them, ESPN2. Way to pick that game right there. But now let's talk some the Premier League scores from last night or yesterday, because I know I did a little quick showing about what they were yesterday, but they weren't finished. So Tottenham Hotspur ended up beating Brighton Hove and Albion 2-0. Liverpool drew with West Brom 0-0. Everton beat Newcastle 1-0. Leicester City beat Southampton 4-1. Manchester City won 4-0. Manchester United beat Bournemouth 1-0. And West Ham United and Arsenal drew 0-0. All right, so let's make my NBA picks for tonight. I think I'm going to go undefeated tonight. I think it's finally going to happen. All right, first game, we got the Detroit Pistons heading into Atlanta. Detroit's currently on a 7-game losing streak. Last time I picked them was against the Bucks. All right, Detroit lost. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to pick the Pistons. I think the Pistons are going to be able to pull it out tonight, and they're going to end that losing streak just because the Hawks are that bad. Next game up, we got the New York Knicks facing off with the Brooklyn Nets. How is Brooklyn favored in this game, even if it's by a point? Is Porzingis not playing? No, Porzingis is playing, so I'm going to go with the Knicks in this one. I guess I get to make my first upset pick. So, yeah, I got the Knicks in this one. The Nets have been playing good basketball and good on the Celtics. I mean, they traded away that Nets pick when it's not going to mean anything this year. Obviously, the Nets are going to be way too good than to be in the top five, I think. But, yeah, the Knicks so far this season, they've been playing well. They've been playing good basketball. So, I don't understand why they're not favored, but I got the Knicks in this one. I think Porzingis is going to have a big game. It's going to be in Brooklyn, and Porzingis usually plays when the lights are the brightest. So, yeah, I got the Knicks. Lakers at Cavs. This is a tough one. No, it's not. I got the Cavs. LeBron's going to drop a triple-double. All right, I'm going to call that right now. LeBron's got a triple-double. Lonzo's going to go for about 10 points. Probably have about 6 assists, 3 rebounds, somewhere around there. Probably shoot what? I said 10 points. He's probably going to shoot 4 of 12. Yeah, I'll go 4 of 12 for Lonzo. I think Brandon Ingram's going to have a solid game. And I think Kevin Love's going to go out for a big game too. So it's going to be closer than people think. But I got the Cavs in here, no, like without a doubt. When I say close, it's not going to be like a 5-point, 4-point game. It's going to be like a 10-point game, somewhere around there. Let's see. You got the Sacramento Kings heading into Minnesota, facing off with the Timberwolves, as they should be. The Timberwolves are favored by 10.5. I'm taking the Timberwolves in this one. Kings aren't going to be able to handle Jimmy Butler, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague, Jamal Crawford, Taj Gibson, anyone else that plays on the Timberwolves. All right, Timberwolves are going to have no trouble in this one. The Kings really aren't a team. I'm saying all this, dude. The Timberwolves are going to lose tonight. Man, I still got the Timberwolves, but I'm just banking it off the Kings not playing well tonight, which they probably won't. So, yeah, I got the Timberwolves. As for the Dallas Mavericks, they're heading into Golden State, facing off with the Warriors. This one's on TNT, as is the Lakers and Cavs game. This one, I'm going with the Warriors are going to be without Draymond Green and Steph Curry, obviously, since Curry's been out for a while, a couple of weeks, I think it is. But I think still I got my money on Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. I think the Warriors are going to be able to win this. Well, they're without Zaza and Nick Young, too. Do I want to go with the Warriors still? Yeah, I'm going to go with the Warriors still. I think they're still going to be able to pull it out. Dude, this is going to be the game where I don't get right. I feel it. It's not going to be the Timberwolves one. It's going to be this one. Man, just pick the Dallas Mavericks, Jesse. Just pick them. Nope, I'm going with the Warriors. All right, I got the Warriors. Don't let me down, please. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, it's pretty much going to depend on them. If they can't shoot, this game's over and the Mavericks are going to win it. And that seems to be the case whenever they're missing two out of their big four. So I'm still going to go with the Warriors. Still think they're going to be able to pull it out. All right. Next up, NBA news. Gordon Hayward out of his walking boot. Does this mean he's coming back at the end of the season? Honestly, no one knows. I have no clue, and no one else has any clue. Gordon Hayward doesn't even have a clue, I bet. But if Gordon Hayward were to come back and he's at 100%, the Celtics team is scary, okay? They're already the best team in the league right now without him, okay? Imagine him coming out there. Imagine him, Irving, and Jason Tatum, okay? When you got Jaylen Brown already out here dropping 16 points a game, shooting the ball well, and then you got Al Horford playing well too. Then you got Marcus Smart coming off the bench. You might even have, imagine a starting lineup with Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford. That's a small lineup, but you know what? Basketball is already moving towards positionless basketball, right? The game is moving towards there. So, I mean, it really wouldn't hurt them too much. You got the Warriors out here playing positionless basketball, and it works out for well for them. The teams who don't play positionless basketball are the ones who struggle. All right, it's time for them to get with the times. But, I mean, Gordon Hayward coming back, this team makes the finals. They're beating Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals without a doubt. No doubt in my mind that'd be what happened. It happened in six games. That's how confident I am about it. All right, but it's all going to come down to whether Gordon Hayward or not comes back or not. And if I'm him, I'm going to sit this season out unless I'm completely, positively, 100% good mentally and physically. All right? If he's not good mentally, then don't even bother coming back because he's going to be playing scared and he's got a bigger chance of re-injuring, just getting hurt again if he's out there playing scared and just pretty much thinking about it. So if I'm Gordon Hayward, I'm not coming back unless I know I'm completely ready to come back. And I think even without them, the Celtics will be fine. I'll probably still end up playing in the finals this season, but we'll see how it all ends up. But yeah, I just wanted to note that. And for the last little part of this segment, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns once again. So their new GM, John Dorsey, I said yesterday on the show, I think I said Ken Dorsey. And Ken Dorsey was the old quarterback. Who did Ken Dorsey play for? Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Let's see if we can make this a Ken Dorsey segment. But just short off on what John Dorsey said, the GM for the Browns. He said his predecessors, meaning for those that know what predecessor means, that means pretty much the GMs in front office before him, pretty much didn't draft real players. What does that mean? The Browns got talent right now, okay? Like, is he talking about the players that the Browns have had, like, years ago? I mean, I get that, but, I mean, this team that the Browns have right now, they're not an untalented team, all right? They're not. Like, this team has talent, and, they got Jabril Peppers, they got Myles Garrett, okay? They got Danny Shelton on defensive line, they got some other guys I can't name off the top of my head. On offense, you got Josh Gordon. Corey Coleman plays well when he's not injured, okay? Isaiah Crowell's been a pretty decent back for them. I mean, this team has talent. It's just they're not winning games because they're too young. If you look at the Browns so far this season, they haven't gotten really blown out in any game. They've been in every game they've played so far, and I feel like I understand like the Browns haven't done things the right way before, but I don't understand the whole they haven't been drafting real players. If you're going to come out here and make a comment like that, then you best be on your drafting great players from the draft. You have to be doing that if you're going to come out here and call people out before you, okay? Because not you're coaching for the you're the GM for the Browns now. This isn't like being the GM for like a competent team or anything like that who's just going through a rebuild. The Browns have been rebuilding since 1998. So I mean, if you're John Dorsey and you're talking about people before you, you better do well, or else you're going to receive a lot of criticism as he should. But I mean, I just don't like the whole calling out the players on the squad right now. I mean, I get the whole you're going to bring in your guys and all that, but what's the point of doing that? I don't understand it. I mean, this guy's walking around with like his chest popped out, so hopefully he does well and gets these players, gets some real players, I guess, whatever that means, but I just don't get it. I mean, Cleveland has a talented team. It's just they're too young, but we'll see how it all ends up. But going back to Ken Dorsey, he played for the San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns, so he's on that famous Cleveland Browns jersey with all the quarterback names. But yeah, Ken Dorsey, the old quarterback, John Dorsey, the GM. But that's actually going to wrap it up for today's show. This was actually a fun one. I really enjoyed that third segment talking about LeBron and where he's going to end up. But for those that don't remember the first two, we talked about We recapped the NBA games from Wednesday night. We talked about the NFC teams, talking about which teams have a legit shot at going to the Super Bowl and actually winning it. And for this segment, I made my picks for the Thursday night games, recapped the scores for the college basketball games yesterday, talked about Gordon Hayward getting his walking boot off, and we talked about John Dorsey. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show. This is the GSMC Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Tapia. We'll be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.